You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Luneed Lewis, and today it's an honor and privilege to welcome a very special guest to the show, a friend of mine. We met last year, actually. I want to introduce to the show Susan Johnson. Susan is a personal financial coach who works with motivated individuals, couples, and families to develop good financial habits for a more stable future and carefree life. She has been teaching and guiding clients in the financial methods of Dave Ramsey for almost 5 years. She has experienced leading Financial Peace University, Smart Money, Smart Kids, and the Legacy Journey. Susan has attended FPU conferences and Intro Leadership Summits. Prior to becoming a Ramsey Preferred Coach, she spent 8 years in professional sports and 7 years in commercial real estate. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Luneed. It's so good to again. It was an honor to meet you last year, and it's been an honor to see you develop this podcast and your app, and it's just been so exciting to see all the things that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I'm amazed with your success, and I've sat with you in masterminds and meetings, and you are just so knowledgeable, right? You're just so versed on your craft and how to help individuals with the financial habits that you have set in place, and it's the perfect opportunity to get to pick your brain. So I'm glad you're here. So Susan, please tell us about your journey here.
So I began my debt-free journey in the winter of 2014. I signed up for a financial literacy class that my church back in New York was offering. I'm originally from New York. I completed the class and I was more motivated than ever to get rid of my credit card debt, which was really hanging over my head. I had some student loan debt, but looking back now, the student loans were the least of my problems. So after I completed that class, I moved to San Diego in April of 2015. And I had a little bit of a relapse in the spending department. But in August of 2015, I actually decided to lead that same financial literacy class that I had taken at my new church in San Diego. And I started helping others get their finances in order. And I found that even though I was in debt myself, one would think that the person leading the class shouldn't be in debt, but that's not the case. Assisting other people really helped me stay focused on my ultimate goal of getting out from underneath that consumer credit card debt and eventually getting to paying off the student loans in the end.
Oh, fantastic. It's so easy to relapse into the back into the credit card debt process. I mean, it can happen with just 1 month. You miss one payment and you're back in the hole.
Right. And I never missed a payment, which unfortunately almost probably made it harder because I would add to the debt and then I would just continue paying the minimum. And so that relapse in mid-April of 2015 to August of 2015 probably increased it by about $10,000.
Wow.
And so when I started really hammering that debt, I was at $90,000 and only less than 20 of it was student loans. So the majority of it was on three consumer credit cards with very high interest rates.
Oh, wow. So this is going to be great because now I know so many people that are deep in debt and don't know how to get out of it. So $90,000 in debt. Was there a pay increase? Was there a new job? How did you manage it with your current income?
Right. So I was single at the time. I am married now, but at the time I was single, living by myself, no one else to rely on. I would have never asked my parents for money. I would have just been horrified. And so I was struggling through this alone, on my own, and really didn't have anybody else to talk to about it because we don't talk about money in America for some reason. And there's this stigma attached to it that we've got to get rid of. So I was kind of in my own little shell. And I think that's why after I finished the class and moved to San Diego, I did relapse because I thought that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And then when I wasn't focusing on it, I thought the light at the end of the tunnel was an oncoming train. And I looked down and I said, how on earth am I going to pay off $90,000 in debt by myself? I didn't make $100,000. I didn't make $250,000. And I was in a management position, so I couldn't even work more because I was expected to show up to buildings as a commercial property manager if anything went wrong. So I couldn't even take a part-time job because I had to be available if something happened to my buildings. Mm-hmm. So through the process of all of Dave Ramsey's teaching, for me, I couldn't increase my income except through the normal channels of salary increases. I had to buckle down and get disciplined. And I know everyone hates that word, especially early in the morning. But it's true. And it's not a dirty word. It's not a four-letter word. Through discipline and putting myself on a budget and sticking to it, that's honestly how I paid off that debt. And it took me less than 3.5 years to pay it all off.
Oh, that's fantastic. That gives the rest of us hope.
Yes.
Honestly, because with budgeting, you didn't get it was a new income that you got, but it's just cutting back, realizing what you need and what's a necessity and what is a want.
Right. Oh my gosh. The need and the want is so important. And I learned that from my grandmother back in New York. And she would hold up a sweater to, you know, when she would go do her shopping and she would look at it. And even as a grandmother to 19 grandchildren, she would still go shopping and hold up the sweater and say, is this a need or a want? And she, if it wasn't a need, she would put it back and she would sleep on it. And then she would wake up in the morning, and if she was still thinking about that sweater, she would see if she could fit it into her spending appropriately. And if she could, she would go back and get it. And what a lot of people will tell me is, well, what if the sweater isn't there the next morning? Well, then you weren't meant to have the sweater, and there's going to be another sweater. A lot of times I'll get that with gentlemen who want to go buy a new flat screen TV when it comes out, or the new, you know, Apple device or something like that. And if it's not there the next morning, then you just weren't meant to have it and your money was meant to go towards something else.
I like that logic. I like that a lot. So tell us about some of the things that you've learned through Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. So I, through teaching that class, I ended up teaching that free class several times. I had one class that paid off $140,000 in debt in 9 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And through that opportunity to do that, I started coaching friends part-time, specifically military members, because I was in San Diego and I found that they struggled a lot. And so it was friends from church, friends who were in the military, and just friends in general. And I started sitting down with them and saying, listen, you don't have to be embarrassed about what you have done with your money. You don't have to be embarrassed when you pull up your debt list and show it to me, because I've been there. I'm still paying it down. At this point, I was still paying it down. And so I got to see how much fun and what an amazing life change it can be to work with someone on their finances. And so I decided about a year and a half ago to quit my corporate job and become a Ramsey preferred coach. And what that means is we're trained in the methods of Dave Ramsey, as you mentioned, through a very specific process, which is biblically based. And we help our clients develop healthy habits and see their money as something to be managed, not something that manages them. Money drives our decisions on a daily basis, and it controls most people, when in fact, we are supposed to control our money.
Right. Yeah, a lot of us let it get away from us. And I think that's where the whole notion of like money's all the root to all evil, because we relinquish that power, our own power over to it.
Exactly. And money is not the root of all evil. The actual scripture is the love of money is the root of all evil. So anyone, whether you're a religious person or not, whether you're spiritual or not, if you put money above all else, mm-hmm. above people, above being a moral person, then that truly is the root of all evil, of course. But physical money is not evil. Money can be donated to build a children's hospital. Right. That doesn't make it evil, right? So it's what the person is doing with it that determines if the money is being used for good or bad.
Money gives you options.
Amen.
It opens up the door. For the financial habits, can you share three with us?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that I would always tell people is to have a budget, and it's not a four-letter word. And this will help break that paycheck to paycheck cycle that exists for so many Americans. You know, think about your 8 closest friends and yourself. All of you are probably living paycheck to paycheck. So budgeting is the key to that success. And I want everyone to stop thinking about the word budget as a curse word. we tend to put terms like budget and diet in the same category. So personal trainers, nutritionists, they're trying to get you to have a healthier lifestyle through better food and more exercise. And budgeting is the same thing. It's just applying that to your money. I don't care if you budget $1,000 a month for entertainment and bars and restaurants, as long as that doesn't impede your ultimate financial goals and your financial whys, then you can do whatever you want with the budget. Mm-hmm. But the budget just tells us where our money went instead of wondering, where the heck did my money go?
Yeah, you got to be able to write it down. Got to know what you want too, right? You yes. really got to know what is that financial goal for you? What do you and how long? Put a timestamp on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please. That's great. So for, and I know this is very dear to your heart, about breaking the cycle of, you know, 89% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, as you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. How can one start to break that cycle? I know there's budgeting, and then you just mentioned you are the average of the five people you hang out with, right? So if they're making 20K, you better believe you're making 20K. But if you're hanging out with people that makes over 100K, sooner or later, you're going to grow to their level. So how can one break that paycheck to paycheck cycle?
Absolutely. So budgeting would definitely be first on the list. But to go back a little on what we said earlier, we talk about sex, politics, and religion in this country more than we talk about money. And that has to change. I know that you mentioned you had an interest in that Smart Money, Smart Kids class that I've taught before.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example. Adults don't talk about money together, and adults do not talk about money with their kids. So aside from budgeting to break that paycheck to paycheck cycle, stop thinking that you're the only person that exists in that space. Open up to your friends. Open up to your spouse. Oh my goodness, the amount of people that I have coached where they are married and have no idea what's going on with the other person's finances. It's mind-boggling. So the Smart Money, Smart Kids example shows us how to have healthy conversations with our kids about money and over-communicate about the topic. But man, as adults, we don't even communicate about the topic with ourselves.
Right.
So open up to people because you're not the only one. Stop thinking you're the only one in debt.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It totally is. But you're not the only one. And I think once people realize that, it's the same stigma that exists around mental health issues.
Right.
Once you realize you're not the only one struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression, and it could be low-level anxiety and low-level depression, or it could be really bad. Once you realize you're not the only person doing that, it's going to allow you the grace to open up and speak with a counselor or a friend about that problem. And the same thing goes for money. So stop pretending like you're not in debt. And that money is only a problem for you, because it's not. It's a problem for everyone. So yeah, that opening up the lines of communication is huge, because you will come to realize that there are solutions to these problems and you don't have to keep living like this in the paycheck to paycheck cycle.
Yeah. And not only it's hard to talk about, it's taboo in some cultures too, you know. And I know a lot of religious people that always says, you know, God will take care of it. They don't really take the ownership in terms of tackling their finances. And there's this stigma of wanting to keep up with the Joneses, you know, like gotta have the nice house, gotta have the nice car, and just like drive a Benz but live in the projects.
Absolutely.
Type of mentality.
Keeping up with the Joneses is the old cliche, and it can easily be translated into keeping up with your friend's vacation on Instagram.
Ooh.
Because guys, that's the highlights. And I know that this gets kind of beaten into people, but it's true. Those are the highlights for 99% of people. Their Disney vacation with their whole family is not their daily lives. There's a really, really great story, a testimony on Dave's website, Dave Ramsey's website, of a woman who's her and her husband got in the van. They drove to Disney World with their kids. They lived somewhere in southeastern America. And they got there. The grandparents were there. The aunts were there. The cousins were there. The uncles were there. And when they went to buy their tickets to get into the park, they didn't have enough room on their credit card and they couldn't get in. And the story goes, the woman got back in the minivan with her husband, cried all the way home, and somehow got her hands on a copy of Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. And she read the entire book out loud to her husband on the drive home. And from that day forward, they broke that cycle. They paid off their credit cards and they went on completely paid for vacations. So sometimes we need to have that moment. We need to have that ultimate moment. Other times people just realize, I don't really like how this feels, but sometimes for some people, it's a really hard moment and we have to learn a hard lesson.
Yeah. And then it starts with the conversation. And just as you say, we have physical fitness, we have life coaches, a financial coach as yourself is the starting point.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your the work that you do with your clients.
So I meet my clients exactly where they are. And I'll give you a good example. I just got an email this morning I woke up to of a woman who had been doing really well her entire life. She's about to come to retirement age and she's experienced a really terrible divorce. And now she's completely upside down on her budget. To contrast with that, I actually have an existing client who is a woman close to the same age, getting to retirement, who's making almost $250,000 a year and doesn't really need help paying the bills per se, but she doesn't know how to build her budget for her retirement. So we're working on that with her. So it really doesn't matter where you are. I work with clients in all levels. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs because one of the things as entrepreneurs, sometimes our business budgets are in order, but our personal budgets are not in order.
So true.
And I will find that with a lot of people who have dedicated their time and money to their business, and they're so focused on making that business amazing and wonderful that they let the personal finance slip. So I do both business and personal finance budgets to help people do that. And then a lot of the times, Luneed, it's dependent on what's happening in the world. I had a client that I worked with for 6 months, and I told her last month, I said, hey, we're coming up on our last session. And she said, oh, no, we're not. We're going to do this for another 6 months because now I realize how fragile the economy can be when we experience something like the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so she immediately said, no, please extend my subscription for another 6 months because I want to be able to call you when I get laid off again. I want to be able to call you when I get a new job. So money touches everything. And my clients have access to me almost 24/7, definitely a lot via email and text message when we have stuff come up that we need answers to right away. And we just might not have never been in that position financially before.
Mm-hmm. And so you come in and really just kind of steer the direction.
Yes, absolutely. The first meeting, I always say the first meeting is the most tedious because it is what I call a forensic analysis of your spending. And I am not going to sit there and beat you up, guys. I have done everything wrong with money before. Dave Ramsey has a great line. He says, if you are over the age of 12, you have screwed up your money.
It's a hard truth. Accept it.
Exactly. So you could have screwed up that lemonade stand when you were 12, or you could have screwed up that big salary bonus that you got when you were 40. It doesn't matter. We've all screwed up with money. So there is no judgment whatsoever when we're reviewing your spending for the last, you know, usually we go through about a quarter's worth of spending in a year. And even now, post global pandemic, that's kind of changed because the spending that we've had over the last 3 to 6 months, depending on where you live, how locked down you were, if you were furloughed, if you lost your job, if you got a new job, if you took a second job, that doesn't really reflect our quote unquote normal spending.
Right.
So I have absolutely taken that into account that what people have done over the last 3 to 6 months is probably not their norm. And we take that into consideration and we say, okay, when things get a little bit closer to normal, what do you think your gas budget for your car is going to look like? What do you think the daycare budget for the kids is going to look like? What do you think the grocery budget is going to look like? Because everyone's grocery budget is ridiculous right now.
Yeah. Amazon shopping.
Amazon should be part of the budgeting process for sure. There needs to be a whole line for Amazon, for Americans at least.
Yeah. I mean, all that you're saying speaks a lot of value for me because in 2018, I had to get myself out of debt and it was crippling debt and it was bad. It was credit card. It was student loans. Let's not talk about student loans. I actually emailed Dave Ramsey about my student loans. I was like, help me.
Yeah, I would say that most of the people that I speak to today, unfortunately, if they're millennial aged, under the age of 30, honestly, even under the age of 40, they're coming to me with six-figure student loan debt. And that's the norm now. And honestly, Luneed, that probably wasn't even the norm a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And now six figures is totally the normal number of student loans to have. They usually end up at the end of their debt snowball, which is the tool that we use to pay off debt faster. And so they're usually the largest number. They're at the end of the debt snowball, and they're the scariest looking ones. And people just think that they have to live with them for the rest of their lives, and they don't. I just showed a couple 2 days ago that's working with me. They live in New York City. It's very expensive where they live. Both of them work. They have a child in daycare, which is costing a lot of money also. And I just showed them how we can move their debt-free date from January of 2025 to December of 2022 by making very few tweaks in their existing budget. And it was like a light went off in front of them.
That's incredible. And so tell us a little bit about how to begin that process with student loan debt, because I know there's a big population that struggles with that, including myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just going to get worse. Unfortunately, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. We need to keep pushing things like vocational and technical schools for the kids where college isn't for them. It's not for everybody. And if they want to get an associate's later on, man, you can do that for super cheap at a community college, right? But we need to stop pushing people who were not made for college or don't even want to go to college into college because they need to fit into this box. But the way that I'm working with this particular couple right now is they've kind of been doing little pieces, saving a little bit here, paying off a little bit of debt, saving a tiny bit for a vacation, saving a tiny bit for their child's. They don't even have a college fund for their kid because they want her to make the decision if she wants to go to college or not, but saving a little bit for their baby. And what we need to do is we need to take those little shovels, we need to turn them into a big shovel.
I see.
Because once we add up those little shovels, we realize, wow, we have a lot of money going in all these different directions. And nothing's moving. None of these little shovels are digging a big hole, out of this debt. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sure, if we keep using these little shovels for little areas of life and we think that it's better to save $50 a month than to put it towards debt, we're going to be here forever. So combining all of those little shovels into a big shovel, we were able to move the, and we have tools to do this, to literally physically show you how to pay off your debt sooner. It includes taking the interest rate into account because, man, don't you think that $50 that's going towards a vacation savings, which, by the way, no one's going on vacation right now, taking that $50 and applying it towards the debt, I showed them how that would literally save them thousands of dollars of interest over the course of the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Morning enthusiasts. I mean, if you're listening, stop with the little shovels. I need to actually put everything in the big shovels and actually make a dent. I really like that concept. And thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up to do what you do?
So one of my personal goals last month, I wrote this down in my accountability group because even coaches have coaches, and it was to get on track with a better morning routine. And I have actually had success with that. The most effective thing I've done is I've changed my view of my day if I had a bad morning. So let's say I had the intention of getting up as soon as my first alarm went off, but I wasn't feeling it. I hit snooze several times, and now I look at the clock and I'm going to be squeezing things in before my first meeting. I actually used to feel a tremendous amount of guilt around this. And I'd be ashamed that I couldn't get up and start my morning. And it would ruin my entire day, not just my morning. And even by dinner time, I would still feel guilty that I hadn't gotten up and crushed the world.
Yeah.
So once I accepted the fact that I am not a morning person and I realized that the world is not going to end if I show up at my desk a few minutes late, I really had a big mindset shift. And I found that I wasn't giving myself enough grace because, you know, now we kind of live in this world where you don't necessarily have to get to the office on time, right? Most people are working from home at the time that we're recording this. The majority of people still haven't gone back to their office. And is the world going to end if I show up at 9:07 instead of 9 a.m. or 8:37 instead of 8:30? No, it's not going to end. So once I had that mindset shift, that was a really big benefit to me emotionally, mentally, and a huge benefit to my entire day and to my husband. I wasn't as cranky when he got home from work. I also have an 80-pound pit bull who whines like a little baby and cries at the top of his lungs when his breakfast is even 30 seconds late. So if I hear him start to cry from the living room, I know that I've definitely overslept and need to get up.
Be having grace. I like that mindset shift that you had to undergo to actually realize, hey, give yourself some credit and actually gradually build into it. And like, the world doesn't end if you're a few minutes late. That self acknowledgement, that self like worth and value you add is really crucial to actually build a habit long term.
Mm-hmm. If I hadn't had that shift, I would still be sitting here saying, you know, I'd be sitting here saying, Luneed, I can't get up in the morning and I'm just a terrible person. And we have to break that. If we're going to make moves in our lives in a positive way, we've got to break that mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else with your morning routine?
Iced coffee.
Get the energy going. Yeah, okay. I like it. Morning, like a lot of the entrepreneurs are just super big about, you know, meditation, calming their mind so they can have that space to meditate and be able to see the picture. See the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just not, and once I move past the fact that that just is not me, I'm not going to be that person that wakes up at 5 a.m. to meditate for 30 minutes and then go for a 30-minute run. Once I got over that and I realized, like you said, I'm bringing value to my clients, yeah, whether I'm 7 minutes late or not. That was, like I said, a big mindset shift. And I do definitely start my day with a morning devotional, a 1 minute devotional. And I have a book for that. And so outside of that, I just, like you said, it's been a huge benefit to give myself that grace and not beat myself up every day if I wake up a few minutes late.
That's fantastic. Morning enthusiasts, your morning routine has to fit you and your schedule and your need, but got to do the things you need to be optimal, to prime yourself for the day. Susan, I really appreciate your presence today. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Yeah, so everybody can visit my website. It's gracefinancialcoaching.com. And on there, there's a link to schedule a free 40-minute strategy session. And what that does is it gives us the opportunity to sit down, review your relationship with money, talk about your numbers if you'd like, and decide if financial coaching is what can help you in your specific financial situation. I do want to warn people that there's going to be some questions such as, what was money like for you growing up? And that brings a lot of things to the table that you might not have realized how your relationship with money became what it is today. So we explore those things and we really get to the root of the problem. And we say, okay, this is our mindset and this is how we'd have to change that mindset if we were to make positive forward moves with our money, if we were to develop those good habits we talked about earlier. So we've got to take a couple steps back and look at what we did in a previous life, what we saw as children, what was modeled for us, what was not modeled for us. And during that strategy session, we kind of hash that out. So again, they can go to gracefinancialcoaching.com and just click the button to schedule the strategy session, and we can talk about your situation.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Susan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Luneed.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.